we're coming into a couple of months that I really feel are going to be defining for us as a church. And we've got some great things coming up in the month of May. We've got guest speakers for 3 out of the 5 weeks, and they're just going to bring their heart to us as a church. Got Pastor Jenny Gilpin, who I know will come and bring a real prophetic edge to what she brings for us. And then we've got Pastor Kate Ken, and then we've got Pastors Russ and Sarah Westfield coming over from Scunthorpe. And just people who are building the house of God and who are doing a great job and having a great time while they're doing it. And I just know that the next 2 months, April, May, we've kind of set aside to be quite a defining time for our church, to be quite a defining time. We're bringing vision. We're going to be bringing stuff to you that we really feel is on God's heart and is on God's agenda for our church. And so as I speak this morning, I just want to come and just ask God to be with us. And I want to ask him that our hearts are responsive and that God just comes and challenges us. So if we can stand together and let's raise our hands and we're going to come and we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to be with us. Going to ask God to help us respond this morning. And when we raise our hands, we're just saying, God, you are welcome to talk to me. That's what we're doing right now as we raise our hands. God, you are welcome to talk. So if God is welcome in your heart this morning to talk to you, to come and challenge and inspire you, that's why we're raising our hands. So Father God, you see every hand raised before you, every life stood in this place. God, I pray this morning that God, you will help me first and foremost communicate well. Father God, I pray this morning as we begin to talk change and vision, that God, you will just come. I pray that we will be excited, God, as these next 2 months unfold, that we will be absolutely excited, Father God, at what you are going to do in us and through us in the community in which we live. And so, God, I pray that you will help us. I pray that, God, we will be responsive to the Holy Spirit speaking to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may take your seats. We're going to come and we're going to look at a passage in the Bible that is probably very well known to most of you. So if you have your Bibles with you, and hopefully you do, we're going to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you don't know, it's part of the Bible. Some of you older lot will know it's a Cliff Richard song. Okay? So there you go. I know it's a Sheila Walsh song. I didn't quite get it in the Cliff Richard era. Okay, so there we go. All right? And it says this, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 says this: there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Are you ready? It gives us a list now. A time to be born. We can see that this morning, okay, as baby Samuel is with us. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. God makes it very clear to us in the Bible that life is built up of seasons and that there is a time for everything, it says in Ecclesiastes, under heaven, for every activity. There is a season for everything. And this morning, I want to tell us that as a church, our season is about to change. Our season is about to go from one thing to another. Okay, our season is about to change from let's kind of enjoy, not that we're not going to enjoy the future, but let's just enjoy what God is doing, to a time where God is going to call us to build something that we've not built before. So our season is changing. The things that we're going to be involved with are going to be changing. There is a season for everything, the Bible tells us, and it lists the extremes. I think for a while now, we've lived in the middle of the extremes, okay? And I've preached before Those of you who've been around a while will remember the pom-pom day, okay? I've preached before, and actually, God sometimes calls us to live on the extremes, but sometimes there's a time where we live kind of in the middle and we find a balance, but I kind of feel that we're going into a season where the balance is going to be tipped one way, where it's not just going to be about living in the middle of two extremes. Actually, it's a time to build. It's going to be a time where we build something that is not necessarily just for us, but it is for the future generations of this house. It's not just for us to enjoy here, but it's we're building something for the future. And I want to say that there is a season for everything under heaven and earth. And our season as church, I believe, is about to change. You see, we live in a world where things change. I was thinking about this, and I saw a picture on Facebook that said, if you were a child of the 80s, you will understand this. And there was a picture of a cassette tape and a pencil. Those of you who came after the 80s are like, she's lost the plot. I have no idea what she's talking about. Those of you who grew up in the 80s, you will kind of go, I totally and utterly get it. And those of you who were born before that will remember it as well. You see, the cassette tape and the pencil. You see, what used to happen before CDs and before iPods and iTunes and downloading and all of that happened, there was a time when that did not exist. And we used to have this thing called a cassette tape. And it had tape in the middle of this kind of shell, and you used to play it, and then every so often, if there was dust in your cassette player, it used to chew the tape. So you'd pull the tape out of the cassette player, and like the tape would, like, there would be reams of it, and you would sit there and you would put a pencil in the middle of it, turn the pencil so the tape would go back in. It was magic. It was absolutely amazing. You see, the world changes, because today we have a generation who have never had the privilege of sticking the pencil in the cassette tape and winding it back, only to realize that when you play it again, it sounds all funny and all like weird, and you've got to throw it away and go and buy another one. You see, the thing is, we live in a world where things change. I was a child of the 80s, a young person in the 80s, like the Walkman was invented. It was amazing. It was massive, and you kind of had to stick it on your jean pocket, and so it was kind of that big. And you'd have like a cassette tape in it that got chewed up all the time, and like big headphones, which are now back in, because everything comes around again. I don't think the Walkman will ever come back though. But like, you know, it was cool in the 80s. You had that now, it would not be cool at all. It'd be quite retro. But in most circles, it would not be cool. You see, things change. And what we would use today is very different to what we would have used just a few years ago in the 80s. Because it is only a few years ago in my head. It's not years and it's not decades ago in my head. In my head, the 80s were like, you know, 5 years ago. And now I know that's not true, but when you're in your 40s, that's what you think. Okay, so we live in a world that changes so quickly. We live in a world where church changes so quickly. I remember when I became youth pastor just a few years ago, nearly 20, and, you know, there was no risk assessments. I can remember walking into youth. I'd been in the back room. We were at Wellington Street at the time. And I was in charge of youth. And we were there and we were kind of playing games. And I walked back in and one of our elders was helping me run youth. So you would think that I would be the crazy one. No. Okay, I had one of our elders. And I walked in to youth. I'd been in the back room. I'd been gone for 5 minutes. That's it. I walked in and there was a table in the middle of the church hall with a chair on it. And there were kids then stood on the table onto the chair. And they were seeing how many pull-ups they could do on the beams that went across the ceiling. Okay. That is what they were doing. We did that today. You would have to write so many risk assessments that it wouldn't be worth even doing it. You have to write a risk assessment to make a cup of tea today. You know, when I was running youth, the games that we played would not be allowed today. Okay, and I'm telling some of our team that they've got to be safe, but actually the things I did, and anyone who was in youth in that era will remember slip and slide. And you see, the thing is, things change. The world in which we live changes. And what we cannot do as a church is stay the same in the midst of a changing world. Sometimes we've got to change how we do things in order to reach the people that God has put us there to reach. Do you know what? You can be nostalgic about the past, but that won't stop the future from changing. You can be nostalgic about what was, and the older I get, the more nostalgic I get. You can be nostalgic about the way things were and look back to what you think may have been a better day or a happier day or a greater day or whatever the day or a worse day. You can be nostalgic about the past, but that will not change the fact that things change. It won't change the fact that church changes, that the world changes, that sometimes, you know, the way that we do things and the things that we do need to change. The life of church changes so quickly. And we've got to become a church who makes sure that we are doing what God has asked us to do. We don't change things for the sake of it, but let me tell you, change is here to stay. There will never be a time where we're not changing anything. And it's not to keep up with the world, because I don't believe we have to do that. It's not to keep up with the church down the road or the church over the other side of the country. It's to find God's unique agenda for our house and fulfill it. And if that means that we change a few things in the process, then that's what it means. Do you know in the Bible, God intentionally changes things in Scripture. He intentionally changes people. He intentionally changes circumstances. He's intentional with the change that he brings. There is a guy that at the beginning of his time with Jesus was called Simon. And he was one of Jesus's disciples. And God said, or Jesus said to Simon, Simon, you are no longer going to be known as Simon. You are going to be known as Peter. Why? Simon meant reed that was blown about. Simon meant actually quite weak. But what Jesus saw in Peter's future was, Peter, you are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so Jesus brings change to Simon Peter's life. And he says, you're no longer going to be called this, you're going to be called this, because your future is not going to be like a reed blown about by everything that comes your way. Your future is, you are the rock. Your future is, and although you're building the church on me, the future for your life is leadership. The future for your life is strong, firm, immovable, steadfast. That's what he was saying to him when he changed his name. And everyone else began to catch on to the change. God changes things intentionally. God changes circumstances. God brought the Israelites, a whole nation, out of Egypt into the promised land. And although it took them 40 years to get there, when God brought them out, he did it intentionally. He didn't bring them out to wander in a desert. He brought them out to enter everything that he had got for them. He intentionally changed their circumstances. I was watching with my kids. It's a program called Storybook, and it's on TBN. And we were watching the story of Moses when he brought the Israelites out of Egypt and they get to the Red Sea. If there was ever an intentional change to history, it was that. And the Red Sea parts and the Israelites go through and they get to the other side and they look and the Egyptians are catching them up and then God closes the sea. God intentionally changed the course of history at that moment. God has always been changing things. God spent 400 years silent with his people because he wanted to change things. He wanted to send his son, Jesus Christ. And he set the stage for how he was going to do that. And he moved around rulers and he moved around powers who were on this earth. And he set the stage for Jesus to be born in a stable in Bethlehem. It took him 400 years, but God intentionally changed history, so that you and I could have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He didn't do it because it was a whim. He didn't do it because he just got bored. He did it because he saw into the future. He saw you and I sat here this morning, and he knew that he wanted a relationship with you. And so he intentionally changed history so he could be with you, so he could be with me. God changed leadership. We see over and over again in the Old Testament, one leader would die, a new leader would come up. Every leadership had a limited season to do what God had for them to do, to bring change. You read at the end of Deuteronomy, you read in the book of Joshua at the beginning that God, you know, it's the book of Joshua starts like this: Moses, my servant, is dead. Now come on, Joshua, my paraphrase. Be strong and courageous. This has changed. You are now here. It's a change of season. It's a change of pace. It's a change of momentum. God intentionally changes things so that things can happen in our lives and in our circumstances that can glorify Him. And if we allow God's model to continue, the changes we experience need to be intentional. They don't need to just happen. All of a sudden we wake up one morning and this is how church is. Do you know what? That won't happen. It's intentional change. And so what I want to do this morning is just to bring some thoughts to you on change. Just three simple thoughts that as we move into this new season of church, as we move into this new season of what God has got for us, three things that I want us to think about. Number one, there should always be purpose in change. I love change. And I've been senior leader here for nearly 4 years. It'll be 4 years this next month. And I love change. But I refuse to bring change without purpose. And so some of these changes that we're going to be bringing in, I've taken a long time to work through because they need to be purposeful. And what God has done for me is He's provided two guys in my life that don't always necessarily love change. One of them loves it a bit more than the other. My husband hates change, hates it, absolutely hates it. Like, we've had pizza every Friday night for 13 years, okay? Just to put it into context, okay? It's true. I tried to change it. It's no go. If you ever come to our house on a Friday night for tea, you will have pizza. Whether you like pizza or not, pizza will be on the table, okay? And God has put together, Math and I, me who, like, I would change things every few months, and Math who would, like, never change anything if he didn't have to, okay? And he's put us together, and do you know what? We work so well, because actually he's come to a point where he goes, actually change is good other than pizza on Friday night, okay? Change is good, okay? And I've come to a point where I go, actually, you need to be able to see the purpose before I do anything with it. And when James and Matt see the purpose in change, we have a united front as we move forward. And then we bring in, you know, other guys and other leaders and stuff like that within our church. But we've got to get a purpose behind the change. We don't make change just for change's sake. God always had purpose when He brought change, whether that purpose was for a nation, whether that purpose was for His disciples, whether that purpose was for a family, or whether that purpose was for an individual. When God brings change, either corporately or individually, there's always purpose behind it. Always. There is always a significant purpose. God never does anything without reason. When He changed Saul to Paul, there was a reason. There was a clear reason for that change. Saul, this is who you were. Now you are this. Now go and do what I've called you to do. Saul, you were a persecutor of Christians. Yeah, I don't know why I came over this side when I said that. Okay? Saul, you were a persecutor of Christians. You were the one that the enemy used to try and wipe out the church. Now you're going to become Paul over this side. Okay? Maybe because Paul sat over this side. I don't know. Okay? But you're now going to become Paul. You're going to become one of the greatest assets that the church has today. You are going to become someone who draws people to Jesus Christ. You see, there was purpose in the name change. Because he was going to become something different. Let me let you into something that is going to be happening in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a name change. We're going to have a name change. Because actually, and it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with Louth Christian Fellowship, but we're going to be having a bit of a name change in the next couple of weeks because we believe in the future that we've got. Okay, there's something different on it. There's something specific on it. And so we're going to be having a name change. God always does these things for purpose. There's always reason behind it. It's not just because we've got bored of the name. You know, when I came 20 years ago, that this place had just had the name change about 3 years prior to that. And you know, because there was a new mandate, there was a new spirit on the place. God wanted to do something different that he had never done before. And we've kind of come full circle to that again. And I believe that in this next season, God is going to do something very different with us. So there's coming a name change. And we're excited about that. We're excited about what God is going to do That doesn't mean that all of a sudden everything else will change, because it won't. But it means that we start walking in the direction that God has got for us. There's no point living looking backwards, because do you know what, church? That is not the way we are going. We're walking forwards. We're doing something incredible with God's help. Daniel 2:20-22 says this: "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells within him." He changes times and seasons. He changes. Change is here to stay. We've got to learn to embrace it and move forward with it. Do you know our mandate is to bring change in the community that God has placed us in? We need to be the church that God wants us to be. And actually what we're called is really important. These changes are well thought through. There's purpose behind them. But I want to say this before I move on this morning. Change doesn't mean things are not working. You don't just change things when they're not working. Sometimes you change things when they are, so they continue to work. I don't think we've been in a season where it's not working. I really don't. I think we've been in a season where it is working, and there are some changes we need to make so it continues to work. So I'm not saying we're changing stuff because it's not working, because, you know, it's been a dead season. I think it's been a great season, but I want an even greater season to come. And so we're making plans and changes for that to happen. Do you know what? If we just keep doing what we have always done, then we'll always get what we've always had. At some point, there needs to come a change. At some point, God needs to do something in us and through us, that changes the community in which we live. And as change happens, we need to adapt to that, which I know can be hard for some. But I just know God's in it. Just need to trust me on that. This has been prayed through for the last 18 months. I just know God's in it. Just know God's in it. Second thing about change is simply this, that change in your present prophesies into your future. Our future success will depend on our present change. It prophesies, it screams into our future. This is where I get excited. This totally and utterly flicks my switch. Okay, when I begin to think about where we want to be 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, all of a sudden, when I begin to see in my mind the things that I think God wants to accomplish through us, all of a sudden the excitement begins to rise, because change in the present, however difficult, is actually going to prophesy into your future. The small steps we take today in change will actually look like giant leaps as we look back on them in years to come. Do you know, when I first came here, I loved my first season here. I loved it. Fresh out of college, I knew everything. Okay, not really. But kind of came to a church. There was no youth work. There was no kids work. And so just, I had a blank page to write on. It was brilliant. It was like, Liz was 11 with like her hair in bunches and knee-high socks. Okay, she actually wore knee-high socks. And you're welcome. And so, like, you know, I came 20 years ago and there was nothing. So I had a blank page. I loved that season. You know what? As I look back on it, that season was actually the first 5 years of ministry here was full of incredible pain. It was full of incredible pain and incredible change in the life of our church. But as I look back on it 20 years down the line, I don't see the pain. I see the fun. I see the stuff that we did that absolutely rocked it. I remember the first assemblies and the first kids clubs. And, you know, we've just done mission the other week. I remember the first kids club we ever did in 1997 when 100 kids rocked up. We expected to get about 30. And, like, they were queuing down the street into the car park down Welly Street. And it was just absolutely incredible. We didn't know what to do. You know, that season was absolutely incredible. That season prophesied into the future of our church. You know, as the guys who were leading then, you know, took the step of faith to bring in two young kids who thought they knew what they were doing, but soon found out they hadn't got a clue, okay, and pay them a wage and let them loose on the youth and the kids of the town. They didn't really know what they were doing, I don't think even the leaders, okay, when they brought us in, okay, but they took the step of faith. It was a brilliant season. As things began to grow, as you know, young people started coming into the church, as we began to baptize them, as we began to disciple them, as we began to teach them, okay, it was a painful season in many respects for the life of our church. We went through huge change. Change that we didn't want to go through. Change that was difficult. But I'm here to tell you, 15 years on, change that actually brought the future that we're going to walk into now. You know, back in 2007, we decided to change things again. And I came out of youth ministry, kicking and screaming. But I came out and we handed things on to Paul and Liz and handed them the mandate to kind of raise up the next generation. And I kind of went into limbo for a while, not quite knowing what I was meant to be doing. And but you know what? In 2007, Lee saw 2012. Because the plan was always that I was going to lead the church. Most of you didn't know that at the time. I was kicking against that at the time. But the plan was always that was going to happen. You see, the thing is, when we change our present, we prophesy into our future. There were things that I put into the life of our youth when I first came that I thought were the bedrock of our youth ministry that today don't exist. Why? Because I'm not the youth pastor anymore, and I've not got the mandate to see what every need that they have is. These two do. And they do it brilliantly. And so some of the things that I started, they're no longer up and running. The name changed when they took over. Because actually what had been, although it was great, and we can look back with nostalgia and talk about, you know, the good old days and all that kind of stuff, but actually God had a new mandate. God had a freshness to bring to what they were going to do. They needed to own what they were doing. This morning, I want to say that the changes we're going to bring over the next 12 months into the life of our church are changes that are prophesying into our future. What we change now needs to take us into the future that God has got for us. It will make a prophetic statement about it. The statement over our church reads like this. And we taught this a few years ago, but haven't really revisited it for a while. It says this: LCF exists to build the church, equip the people, reach the community, and empower the future. Do you know what? That doesn't change, but maybe some of the ways we're going to do it is going to change. Joshua 3, verse 5, I love this verse, says this: Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua knew that change was coming. Joshua knew that it wasn't going to be like it was in Moses' day. Joshua knew that there was a change coming. And he addressed the people and said, in our tomorrow, God is going to do things in our tomorrow that we have never known him do in our yesterday. And I'm here to tell you, church, that God is going to do things in our tomorrow that we have never seen before in our yesterday. It's a time for change. It's a time to move forward. It's a time for God to do something incredible. It's about time we prophesied into our future. And not just keep living for what we've got today. We need to prophesy into the future of who we are going to be. So change in the present, prophesies into your future. And then thirdly, change will always cost us. This is where the rubber hits the road for any church. Change will always cost us. When the seasons change, we have to change with it. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about the extremes of life. It talks about mourning and then dancing, being silent and then speaking, tearing down and building up. Do you know what? When these seasons change in our lives, we have to act on them. And those actions can cost us. We have to lay down what we had and we have to pick up something new. This was a season of mourning. You know, this was a season where we may not have understood everything, but actually we're going to move into a season of dancing. It's a change of posture. It's a change of action. It's a change. We did that in that season, but in this season, we're going to do this. You know, this morning, I want to challenge us about how we respond to the changes that we're going to bring. You know, about 12 years ago, we had a change in our church and we set up something called Beautiful She. And it was great, but everything is seasonal. And at the moment, we've laid that down. Because you know what? The needs of pregnant young people have changed in our town. The way everything works has changed in our town. And we've laid that down, not because it wasn't working, but because actually the season's changing. And in one season, that was, we were going with that. And yet in another season, God changes things. And who knows what will happen with it in the future, but God changes it. And I want to honor our team who ran that. I ran it for a long time and then left it in with the team, and especially Joe, because actually they listened to the voice of God. Because we didn't quit it. We handed it over to him and said, God, you do with it what you want. And we prayed our prayers and God spoke. And it's a seasonal thing. There is a time for this, and then there is a time for this. And you know what? As that unfolded, as we began to walk that journey and work that through, it actually released our team into other areas that God had got for them. You see, if we hold on to everything, I've done this for 5 years or 10 years or longer, I'm going to carry on doing it, and we never release anything to God, he can never give us anything different. And I want to challenge us this morning that actually change costs us. Sometimes it costs us those things that we love doing. I never gave up youth ministry because I didn't like young people. I never gave up youth because I'd had enough of them. I never gave up youth because they didn't appreciate me. I never gave up youth because they just trashed my house. They did that. I never gave up youth because I couldn't be bothered to go out on a Friday night again. In fact, the season straight after I gave it up, I used to come and work in the building just to make sure it didn't collapse while I wasn't in charge. But I never gave up youth because I didn't want to do it. I gave it up because God spoke. And it was hard and it was painful and it was difficult. But I knew that the future of the young people in our community depended on my obedience to what God was saying. And so I want to say to us this morning, church, that actually change costs us. Sometimes those things that we think we're going to do forever and a day, God comes and he begins to unearth something else in us. Change can cost us what we hold so dearly, but if we never move away from that, we will never move into something new. A change of posture always costs you because you've walked one way for so long. If you're walking bowed down to all of a sudden straighten up, it can be painful. It costs us, but actually it's worth it in the long run. And I want to say this morning, the cost is worth it in the long run. Change will cost us financially. When you buy a house, it costs you. We bought a house, and it costs us. And change is going to cost us. You know, I don't know about you, but when Matt and I bought our house, we had all kinds of plans for it. Anyone else do that? When you're going looking round, and all kinds of plans. And so, like, you know, we were going to do this, and we're going to do that. And I made Matt do some of them. And I wanted one house, he wanted the other. So I said, if we move into this house, in the first 6 months, you need to make me a garden. Matt's like, what? Matt had never done any DIY in his life. And some of those garden stories came out of the work that I made him do in that first 6 months. But, you know, we made some changes and then we started living in it. And then we got our kids in it. And you can never do work when you've got little ones, can you? It's a great excuse. Okay, they tear the wallpaper off and just think, well, actually, while they're little, we'll just leave it because we'll put it right and they'll just do it again. Because we all know that kids don't always do what you tell them to do. Even though we've said, do not rip the wallpaper, sometimes when they're on that naughty step for 5 minutes, they just start picking away. And I think I would do the same if I was on the naughty step as well. And so it doesn't matter, you know, you begin to live and you begin to kind of get the attitude of, actually, we just live in it and it's okay. And you know what? We can do that as a church. We just live in it. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You know, there's stuff that needs doing, but we're just going to live in it. And we can become very complacent with what God has given us. Very complacent with the house and the home that God has given us. But you know what? We have today is so much more than what we've ever had. Let's not become content with that. Let's push forward. May the 8th this year, we're going to be taking a special offering to help us move forward. And I want to talk to us just for a few moments this morning about that. You know, in this place, there's so much that needs doing before we can even start and do the stuff we want to do. And I want to talk to you for a moment about the fact that if we want to change our landscape, we've got to first change the ground that we're standing on. You know, if those of you who've lived in Louth a while, you'll remember the grey monstrosity called the malt kiln. And whatever you think of Aldi, it looks better, doesn't it? Okay? As you look out, coming down, especially from, you know, when you've come up from the Kennick and you're at that roundabout and you're looking down and you look over and you don't see the grey concrete anymore, okay? You see something else. And whatever that something else is, it looks better than the grey concrete. Well, before they could put up the new thing, they had to get rid of and they had to deal with the old thing. And you know what? I just know that our landscape as a church is going to be incredible. The landscape, the thing that as we look out over our church, we're going to see. You know, the landscape of our church is things like the renovation of the front. Cannot wait till we can renovate that, till, you know, the glass doors can go up and the pillars can be redone. And renovation of that front section. And as we begin to dream and as we begin to decide exactly what we're going to do with it, the renovation of that is going to be the part of the landscape of our church. You know, as we kind of look at the landscape of our church, there's going to be new ministries that are springing up and excitement that is going to come. We have got a core team of people around us that are not a leadership team, but they're a team that are going to bring influence into the life of our church. And as we speak, they're sitting in small groups looking at four key areas of our church, looking at how we impact our world, not just our community. How do we have a global influence as a small town church? How do we do that? And we've got a team looking at that. Pastor Lee was over on Thursday talking with them about that. We've got a team looking at how we do discipleship and how we bring people on in their faith in Jesus Christ. We've got a team looking at our ministry life as a church, looking at our programs, looking at the things that we are engaged with. And we've got a team that are looking at community. How do we make a greater impact in the community? You see, that's the landscape of our church. We talked to you a few years ago about Project Hope. Project Hope is going to be part of the landscape of our church. As you look over, you know, maybe in 6-12 months' time, it's going to be part of what you see as you look over the church, as we begin to impact families in our community. You know, new initiatives for our community, new staff in our churches is my heart. You know what? New locations of church. Because what we've got is so good, actually we probably need to go and share it somewhere else and bring a new location, a new campus. This is all going to be part of the landscape. We don't have it right now, but it's part of the landscape that in a few years as we look out over our church, this is what we're going to see. But you know what? You'll never get the landscape if we don't get the solid foundation on which we need to stand. So on May the 8th, we're going to take an offering. It's very easy. We live in this place now. We'll make do. But the world won't. And so there are things that need to be done in this place before we can change the landscape. The landscape's the dream. The landscape's the vision. The landscape is the thing that we are going to be, you know, praying into and believing for. But until we can change some things first around this place, around the house, the landscape won't be possible. So on May the 8th, we're going to take an offering to change everything we need to change. Get ready to gulp, we all have. But to change everything we need to change in this place is going to cost us between £60,000 and £70,000 before we even start with a landscape. Do you know what? I believe God. In September last year, all of our tenants moved on. There's a season for everything under heaven and earth. And people may have been confused about that. Actually, the fact, you know, when we bought this building, we inherited a tenant. And we could never do anything about that. And actually, we give God glory for that, don't we, Richard? You know, in the early days of this place, we thank God for that because that really helped us. And in September last year, at the same time, all of the tenants moved. And I can remember sitting and praying, Math, James, and I, and just going, what do we do with this? You know, we've reached a crossroads here. And we just... There are some things in the pipeline of what we may do with it, of what we may do with some of the space, but we just believe it was a God thing. Yeah. But it's meant that we're money down. It's sustainable, but it's not landscapable. But I'm believing for the landscape. You know, I sit with the church council and we talk mending the foundations, but I'm believing for the landscape to change. But I know to get that right, we've got to get this right. And so we're going to be taking an offering. And you know what? It is not going to be, you know, if I can use this word in context, it's not going to make the church look really sexy. Okay? It's not. And it's not going to be kind of, you know, some of the things that sometimes, you know, when I'm in the office with some of the girls that we dream about. But, you know, the twinkly lights and all of that kind of stuff. And the new paint and all of that. But it's going to be stuff that is going to make this place the bedrock of what we're going to do. From that, we can build the landscape. We can build the landscape. The landscape of our church can begin to change. The new ministries can be built up. The new things that God wants us to do can begin to take place. I'm not just into changing the foundation. I'm into changing the landscape. But there is a process that we have to go through to get to the landscape. I'm not really good, if I'm honest, at going through those processes. But we've got to go through them. We have to. We can't just change everything that I really want to change the landscape. Because then if this place is not up to scratch, actually, it could all fall away anyway. So we're going to do it properly. We're going to change the landscape. And there's going to be a process to that. And there's going to be cost to that. There's going to be cost as we try and hold on to things maybe that we've done in church for a long time. There's going to be cost because maybe God's going to take some of those things off us. But you know what? There's going to be a cost financially. But at the end of the day, the landscape is going to change. The landscape, if you can get excited about that this morning, at the end of the day, the landscape is going to change. At the end of the day, what we hand on to a future generation is going to be greater than what we have right now. Because the landscape's changing. It's not just about changing the ground. It's about changing the landscape. But if we don't get the ground right, the building will fall. The Bible says this in Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. And we're believing that as we make changes that God is laying on our heart, that actually as we build, that God is going to join with us to build, that God is going to provide, that God is going to do something supernatural amongst us. And what we build is going to change the landscape for a future generation. It's not all for us to live in. It's for those who are coming after us. Some landscape things will begin to happen in the next 6 months. We have some very innovative and very kind of, we just want to get the changes out there. People working on some of those things. And so some of the landscape changes will begin to happen alongside everything else. But I'm telling you this morning, we're not just going for the groundwork. We're going to change the view as people look into the building of our church. As people go on the website and see what is happening, we're going to change the landscape. We're not just going to change the ground. Because we can make the ground strong, but if we don't know what we want it to look like, there's no point as well. So there's process, there's preparation, there is the fact that we know that God has called us to do this. And as we stand together this morning in a moment, believing that God is going to build his church, I want us to begin to envisage the landscape that God is going to build after we come and we prepare the groundwork for him to do it on. After we come and say, we just don't want to live with what we've got. Actually, God, we want to do something even greater. So to conclude this morning, just want to bring this word right at the end. As we stand on the edge of our tomorrow, whatever the cost is, I know this. In times of change, we can trust God. And if we don't remember anything else from this morning, let's remember that. In times of change, we can trust God, because this is the reality about change. My life changes. My life changed the day I went to school. My life changed the day I went to secondary school. My life changed when I left school. My life changed when I did my training. My life changed when I moved here. My life changed when I got married. My life changed when I got divorced. My life changed when I got remarried. My life changed when I had children. My life is constantly and utterly changing. The church is changing. The church today looks nothing like it did 20 years ago when I first walked into the building. Everything changes. But let me tell you this, God never does. And the same God that we have trusted for the last 20 years is the same God that we can trust today. Because God may cause change to happen in our lives and in our world, but his character and who he is and what he has said never changes. So in the midst of change this morning, church, as we go into the next couple of months and we bring and we unfold some of these changes, in the midst of change this morning, I want to declare this and prophesy it. We can trust God. We can trust God. We sat last night in our church council and, you know, talked about one of the things that needed doing in the building, and this morning it's been paid for. We can trust God. We can trust him. In all the change that is going to occur, we can trust God. This week I've been thinking about this verse a heck of a lot. I'm thinking about this house. Joshua 24:15 says this, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Do you know what? Whatever change we bring, whatever change comes in this place, it is only so we can serve God better. It is only so we can be in the plans of God more. It is only so we can give God a greater scope to come and do what he needs to do. You see, the thing is, and I'm declaring it this morning, we need to choose who we're going to serve. You need to choose. Are you in or you're out? Who are we going to serve this morning? Because I'm saying, as for me and this house, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we go into these changes, I am telling you this morning that we are doing it so that we can serve the purposes of God in the generation that we live in. I get excited at this kind of stuff. This morning, I'm telling you that as for Matt and I, James, for us as elders, we're going to serve God. And we're going to take our house with us. And it is so great to see you this morning. It's so great to have you as part of our house. This morning, you choose. But we're going to serve God. And we're going to go on the ride of our lives. And sometimes it's going to be scary as heck. And we're going to need God to come through. And we're going to count the cost. And we're going to need faith that we have never needed before. And sometimes we're going to be on the highs. And we're going to be living the dream. And it is going to be amazing. But I am telling you that the landscape, to change the landscape, is ours to do. God never called me to come and lead and maintain and live with what we've got. That's not who I am at all. And I've tried. I'll be honest with you. I've tried not to rock the boat, and I've tried to, I can't do it anymore. Because that's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to change the landscape of the church in which we are a part of. The landscape is ours. The miraculous is ours. The stories of what God is going to do is ours. Let's choose this morning, church, to embrace change and allow God to write an amazing tomorrow and do things that we have never seen before. Because change is here to stay. And it's not going to be change every week. I'm not going to be preaching something like this every week. Thank the Lord. Because as hard as it might be for you to hear, I'm the one saying it. But you know what? I am ready for the ride of our lives. God is going to do incredible things. So this morning, we're going to choose who we're going to serve. We're going to serve God. Are you coming on the ride? Let's just close our eyes as we're sat in the presence of God. Joshua looked to the people that God had called him to lead. And he said this to them. Serving God doesn't seem desirable to you. Then choose who you're going to serve. But as for me, and he was talking, his house was the nation of Israel. As for me and my house, he stood as the leader and said, this is what we're doing. So choose if you're going to come along with us. I'm not going to make that appeal this morning. I'm going to leave you to think that through. But choosing to come on the ride with us will be choosing to embrace change. It'll be choosing to count the cost and pay the price, and it'll be choosing to serve God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength as you're in this place. So this morning, this is what we're going to do. And I am aware that I've not given you any notices yet, and that will be happening. But before we do that, I wonder if we could just sing that Jesus be the center of your church. We're going to come just with piano. And we're going to sing this. And I want you to open your heart, open your mind. You can sit, you can stand, you can kneel, you can raise your hands, you can fold your arms. Entirely up to you. But we're going to come. I'm going to lead us in this. Because I'm telling you, it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Let's sing.